Systematic theology is telling what the whole Bible says about any given topic. What does the whole Bible say about the deity of Christ or the humanity of Christ? What does the whole Bible say about sin or about prayer or about angels or demons or heaven or hell? Those are questions and many others that Christians are often interested in, and they look at the Bible and they say, wow, there's a lot of material here in the Old Testament and different parts of it, and then the New Testament and different parts of the New Testament. How can I put it all together and find out what the Bible wants me to believe? And systematic theology is really doing that. It's trying to take all the appropriate verses from different parts of the Bible and saying, well, here's what a summary is of what God wants us to believe on this topic. Does the Bible contain a system of theology is a question that sometimes people ask. Well, I like to say that the Bible fits together and is consistent. It isn't contradictory because it's written both by human beings and by God. And in God's mind, it all fits together and it's truthful and it makes sense. So in that sense, we could say there is a system in that it's all internally consistent and the parts relate to each other, reinforce each other, never contradict each other. But because the Bible has so much wisdom from God in it, the more we study it, the more we can discover more and more truth that God has put there in His Word. And sometimes people ask, well, why should I study topically different topics in the Bible, study systematic theology, in other words, why shouldn't I just read from Genesis all the way to the end, to Revelation, and then start again? Now, that's a good practice, and I do that too every day, reading a part of my Bible from the beginning and all the way to the end, some in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament. But there are times when you wonder now what does the Bible say about the second coming of Christ? And I'll tell you, if you start in Genesis and start reading, it'll be a long time before you get to the parts that talk about the second coming. And then you've got a whole bunch of other questions. So I think in addition to just reading from beginning to end, it's good that Christians take some time aside and study the different topics that they're interested in. And when they do that and put the different verses that talk about that together, they're doing systematic theology. Now, over the course of many centuries, many Christians have done this, and they've sort of found and collected and thought and talked about the different verses that go into teaching us on different topics. And so we have resources that in the teaching ministry of the church, resources that are available to give us a good start anyway in studying those different topics.
Amen. We have tools in the church that have been given to us by God that are here to help us interpret and understand and study God's Word. Amen. The most important thing is God's Word. Given to us and helping us to discern it is the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to continue on in our series entitled The Word of God. And if you're here as a visitor this morning, I want you to know that as a church family in all of 2012, we are systematically, verse by verse, reading through the entire Bible. And we're doing it chronologically. And this week, we will be focusing on the Proverbs. Now, if you were with us last week, you know that we touched on the Proverbs last week, and I shared with you a message from the first chapter of Proverbs and the first seven verses. And in so doing, what we said was it's important to understand the purpose of the Proverbs and the prerequisite of the Proverbs. And we saw this played out in those first verses, where God made it very clear that the reason why He's given us the book of Proverbs, and the Proverbs in particular, is so that we would be given His wisdom, so that we could walk through this life as worshipers of our King, who are in a right standing in a healthy relationship with Him, that we walk understanding His truth and love, and that we live it out. This week, we're going to continue this focus in Proverbs, but as I told you last week, we will look today at the practical and the power aspects of the Proverbs. And I have to tell you up front that God has redirected my steps here this morning. He did it last night. My intention was to share with you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Where I think that you will find in those three verses a great encapsulation of the truth. However, I have spent the last 3.5 days away with my son, Griffin, for an express purpose of a transition point in his life. And we spent our time focused on the Proverbs. And so this morning, I have to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable. But I want to share with you, as God led me to share with my son, because we could spend this time and I could teach you some of the deeper truths of some aspects of the Proverbs, and we would be well served to do so. But God said to me, Jeff, I want you to open up your heart, and I want you and Griffin to share. Share from the personal side, because you see, we can learn from within the Proverbs, or we could learn from the Proverbs in the totality of how they are meant to be shared. And so I want to tell you this morning that I studied the Proverbs, and this is a process that began 17 years ago when Griffin was born. He was about a year old, and God led me to a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. And in that book, I was blessed to receive some wonderful insights. When Griffin turned 14, we spent a fireside chat kind of night where we and other men poured into his life and said, you are now a young man. And here are some things that we would want you to know that we wish somebody had shared with us from a Christian perspective. And I knew that we would have that time, and then I knew we would do it again when he graduated high school, which happened here at this school just a week ago. And I intend to do it again when he graduates from college, and I intend to do it one more time when he proposes to a woman and asks her to be his bride. Rather than take you deep into Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7, what I would like to do is share with you how God led me to share with my son. Because as you read the Proverbs and you understand where they come from and what their purpose is, I think you'll find that this is very much in line with how God intends for us to not only hear the Proverbs, but to apply them. You see, the Proverbs are principles of God's truth. They're not promises in an absolute sense. They are principles. God gives them to us in the hope that we will listen and obey and that we will be shaped in our everyday lives. And so if you're here and you're an adolescent, or if you're the parent of an adolescent, then I pray that this process will bless you both. And if you don't have either, then I pray that this will bless you to help others that may need to hear some of God's guiding principle. Because you see, Wayne Grudem is considered to be perhaps one of the greatest experts in the world on systematic theology. And there is a real need for an understanding at the deepest roots of God's truth. Proverbs, in a complementary way, is not a systematic theology, it's a practical theology. It's to say, let's take God's truth and let's live it. The relationship is key, because you cannot rightly apply what you wrongly assume. So we need to know the truth and understand it. At the same time, as you'll see before we're done, our understanding of God's word is meant to be lived out. There is a tremendous amount of knowledge that goes to waste because it's never truly lived out. And so we're going to take the next 40 minutes or so, and I just simply want to walk you through the Proverbs. You see, this is the process. I went through the Proverbs. I studied them. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, show me the Proverbs that you would have me share with my son at this time in his life. Personal application. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So whether you're reading the Proverbs each day, perhaps a chapter at a time, or if you do as I have done and study them in totality and ask the Lord, say, Lord, bring up to the surface those that you would have me apply right here. Reveal to me what is applicable right here, right now, in this season of life. I did that a number of times, refining and refining and refining. And I want to share with you those Proverbs that are special between me and my son today, right here, right now, in this stage of life. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Get alone with God passionately. Lord, show me what you have for me. Show me what you have for that person that you have given me the privilege of touching. and then ask God to apply these truths. This is what my son and I shared over the last 3.5 days. They're priceless pearls of wisdom from a proud and loving father to a true gift from God, my son, Griffin Alexander Pearson. Dear Griffin, I love you! Exclamation mark. And while you will always be my son, today I want you to know that from this day forward, you will forever be a man in my eyes. Childhood is gone. Manhood is here. And praise God, I know you are ready. Even further, I recognize that the Lord has put more potential in you than I have ever known. Griffin, surrender all to Christ. Never settle. Never settle when it comes to walking with Christ. Be, truly be his discipled warrior for the rest of your days. And never forget that I will always be here for you, prayerfully cheering you on every step of the way. Forever, Dad. From there, these are the proverbs that God said have personal application. And I pray that this will bless you because it's God's truth. It's God's truth. And I know that this fit my son and me like a hand in a glove. And he will do the same with you and for you if you will seek it out and come to him and say, show me, Lord. Proverbs 1:7. This was the platform from which we left last week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'm going to tell you up front that each one of these starts with the word, the name, Griffin, because it's personal. I would suggest to you, when you hear me say Griffin, just hear the word Christian. Christian, because it's personal from God to you if you're a believer as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Griffin, everything begins with God's sovereign grace, followed by our spirit-led surrender and subsequent embrace of a reverent fear of God. A fear that is grounded in his grace, his greatness, and his eternal goodness. Moreover, make no mistake, any and all who reject this truth are biblical fools. Those who say in their heart that there is no God. Everything begins with God's grace, and the pursuit of wisdom is to have a reverent fear of him at the base. Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7. This was going to be our text for this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Christian, these three verses say it all. I pray you will take to heart this passionate passage of truth and love. See Ephesians 4:15, noting the key words and their implications for every day of your life. Dig deep into this treasure trove of worshipful wisdom. Study both the individual words. Listen to these words because each one would be worthy of its own study. Trust, Lord, all, heart, do not, lean, your own, understanding, all your ways, acknowledge him. He will, and note the certainty, he will make your paths, note here the plural in the word path, straight. Note, straight affirms direction and destination, but never promises short-term ease or widespread acceptance. Continuing on, verse 7 serves as God's exclamation mark. I pray you will heed these words from heaven by praying for the grace, the grace to live in humility, reverence, and prudent discernment every day of your life, hour by hour and minute by minute. And remember, it is when you feel like saying, oh yeah, I got that. I'm good with that. Oh yeah. Remember, it's when you say, oh yeah, I've got that. That is when you will most need to revisit these verses from a prayerful place of Christ-like contemplation. Trust the Lord. Let me just tell you the two places in the Bible that I most am inspired by when I come to understand what it is to trust in the Lord. In the Old Testament, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three guys, young guys, who are told by the king to bow down to him or else they're going to be thrown in the furnace. And when you read your scriptures, what you find is these three young men are so in love with God and they so know the king that they serve that they tell the king that is demanding of them, no way, not a chance. We will not bow down. And that king says to them, do you not know what I will do? I will throw you in this furnace. He has his men stoke the furnace so hot that the men that are throwing in the wood burn up and die. And they say to the king, no, we will not. And even if our God chooses not to save us, we know that he is able. That to me is one of the most inspirational, most powerful demonstrations of what it is to truly trust God. You see, it's not a head thing, it's a life thing. In the New Testament, the place that I like to go to most is Peter. I find I have a lot in common with Peter. And I can't get it out of my head what it must have been like to be in that boat on the stormy night when Jesus is walking on the water and they're all scared and Peter calls out, said, Lord, if it's you, then call me out there. Say, well, come on, big boy, let's go. I want you to think about the kind of trust that it takes to get out of the boat and start to walk on the water. Peter walked on the water based on his trust in the Lord. Now we know the story. He starts to sink. When? When he started to lean on his own understanding. When he started to get caught up in the size of the waves and the way that the wind was blowing. So true for us as well. My question for you is, what furnaces are you afraid of? And what boat might you be getting called out of? And it's my prayer that we will come to understand, to love, to worship, and to trust in the Lord in such a way that we would enter any furnace and we would trust in the Lord enough to say, Lord, if that's really you, then call me out on the water, because I know that if you say so, I can do whatever you say. We could spend a week on that verse. I can't go over it without touching Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Peter. Four imperfect people whose passionate trust for the Lord, in the Lord, has been given to us as such an inspiration. I pray that we will share in this. Verse 13 of chapter 8 of the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then it says here that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That means hating evil is not only wise, but it's an application of the truth. And in this case, I share very quickly with Griffin. This verse is short and sweet on the sourness of sin. Leave no place in your life for evil. Make no excuses. Live with a God-honoring hatred of evil. For some of you, you may find that that's a difficult concept. It's biblical. Live with a God-honoring hatred of evil. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold for the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. God's word. Griffin, stay on our Savior's straight path and know that his provision, promises, and power are with you at all times. By his grace, your biblical faith unlocks the doors of God's fortress in this world of spiritual warfare. Praise God, literally, praise God for his eternal protection, and pray for those who persecute you. They need it, for their ruin is imminent without Christ. Proverbs 11:25, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Griffin, here again, God's word is both simple and profound at the same time. Live your life committed to being poured out in Christ's likeness, and you will be perpetually poured into by the Holy Spirit. Note, however, that this reality is not an act of divine reciprocity, recognition, or reward. Instead, the blessed watering that comes to those who water serves as a form of provision and empowering for more pouring out. Amen. As you live pouring out, God will pour in. To understand the Christian life is to note that you're not a reservoir of blessing. You're to be a river through which God's rapids run. And he uses us to touch and change the world. Proverbs 11:30. He who is wise wins souls. Griffin, biblical Christians live out the Great Commission as noted in Matthew 28:18 through 20 and Acts 1 verse 8. Further, true Christian followers are literally defined by Christ and his words in Matthew 22:37 through 40, what we know as the Great Commandment. You're to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In short, missional living by Spirit-led evangelists is wise, worshipful, and soul-winning. To live this life, you will be used by God in a wise, worshipful, and soul-winning way. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, comma, continuation of thought, but, contrast, the companion of fools will suffer harm. Griffin, I cannot overstate the importance and impact of this truth. I have personally seen the positive and negative aspects and the effects that come along with affiliation in life. Trust me, the pendulum swings to the extremes here. The best bring out the best of the best. Conversely, sadly, fools follow fools who follow fools into folly. In short, light and darkness are not companions. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Griffin, God's word, the Bible, reveals the only truly trustworthy way to go in life. Read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. For all of Scripture is God-breathed and perfect for teaching and rebuking and correcting, training in righteousness. Don't ever in any way, any aspect of your life go against the letter or the heart of God's word and God's way. Those who refuse to heed God's loving word of warning end up spiritually and eternally dead. Romans 3:23 says, for all have come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Griffin, you are never alone. God is with you and in you at all times. When things appear to be out of control and the bad guys appear to be winning, rest assured on the power and the promise of God's word that nothing escapes the eyes of the Lord. Then remember Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a conditional promise. Praise God, I believe it's a promise for my son. I pray it's a promise for you. Do you love the Lord? Is he Lord? God is large and in charge, Griffin, at all times, no matter what. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Do you hear that, believer? The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Griffin, there will be times when it seems as if the entire world is lined up against you. The only reason it feels that way is because it is true. Not to worry, praise God. He who is in you is greater than him who is in the world. Amen. Remain committed to righteousness and live in the confidence of Christ's promises, not the least of which is included here. Creator God is loving and listening to you. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Griffin, I pray you will forever embrace the literal wisdom of this verse. Note how God's word categorizes wine and strong drink. Frankly, mockers and brawlers are descriptions of dangerous and detrimental characters. They are to be avoided. Even before the implication of becoming intoxicated is addressed, it is clear that God recommends we stay away from any and all attitude and or mood-altering alcohol or substances. Stay on guard, Griffin. Stay on guard, Griffin. Stand your God-honoring ground on this issue. The world will tell you that abstaining is unnecessary. Just remember, what the world might call unnecessary, God here calls wise. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Griffin, don't ever confuse being right with being righteous. It is important to remember, you can be right and still be wrong if you're not righteous. Stated differently, your motives, coupled with your commitment to truth and love, will be the true measure of your message and your ministry. God weighs the heart. Give him your why, and he will bless your who, what, where, and when. Proverbs 21:16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Griffin, Jesus is the way of understanding. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Stay the course. Griffin, stay the course. All other paths and options lead to the grave. All other options lead to the grave. Spiritual wandering is deadly. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. This is where it gets very personal. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of pursuing wealth. When you set your eyes on wealth, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. Don't focus on money and wealth. Griffin, this is one of those areas in life where my bad example and my battle scars can, I pray, both protect you and serve you. In short, please don't make the same mistakes I did. Don't chase the creature comforts and Christless currencies of this world. Trust me. Money is no answer to the right questions of life. Money is no answer to the right questions of life. Money and materialism only answer the wrong questions of life. And even then, trust me, you're left wanting more and more. Because the God-shaped hole in every heart can only be filled by him. Don't be blinded by bling. I know that has a place in many of your hearts. That's an epidemic in our culture. We live for the world. I'm not the only one that was thrown down on the side of the road in this area. I speak from a place of empathy and understanding. I'm a pastor today, but I came as a missionary. I know where we live. A love for money and the things of money, prestige, status, creature comforts. I don't want to be rich. I just need this. You know what? Jesus plus anything is wrong. I just need Jesus. I just need Christ. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. Wise, again, biblically, it's the truth of God's word understood and lived out. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will be glad. It goes on to say that our hearts will rejoice. Griffin, love seeks and shares love. In much the same way, wisdom seeks and shares wisdom. Together, love and wisdom, empowered by the Spirit of God, can change both your life and the world around you. Know this, as you embrace God's knowledge and live it out with grace-filled understanding, your mother and I will be rejoicing in the Lord over the wisdom that is in your heart. Proverbs 25:16. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. Griffin, once again, I offer you a painful but powerful example from the trenches of my life. While championing moderation can at times cloak calls for compromise where compromise will actually kill, this proverb identifies where and how moderation truly is a virtue. Join me in praying that the Lord will protect and deliver you from the vice of excess, be it in regards to food, fun, or the faithless living that plagues our time. Remember, too much of anything is too much. Proverbs 25, verse 26, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Get this picture, the blessing of a spring in desert living or a well that has now become polluted. Griffin, hold to God's holy ground no matter what. As sad as it is to see this wicked world fall further and further into the hands of a God-hating, hellion-filled world, nothing is more disheartening than watching the faithful fall. Pray that the Spirit of God will grace you with the gift of steel in your spine and Christ-like courage throughout your life. Let me read that again. Pray that the Spirit of God, the source, you can't manufacture this, that the Spirit of God will grace you, will give you the gift. We cannot even stand without him. Pray that the Spirit of God will grace you with the gift of steel in your spine. Make no mistake, God calls us to stand up. Men of God, be men of God. Be strong and courageous, without apology and without pride. Be Christ-like in your courage. Ask God to prevent pollution from penetrating your purpose and passions. Ask God to prevent pollution from penetrating your purpose and your passions. Stand firm in Christ, Griffin, no matter what. Proverbs 26:4-5. I ask you to lean in, especially here. God's word says, In verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. So do not answer a fool in his folly, or else you will be like him. Got it? I got it. Listen to verse 5, the next verse. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. Well, hang on now. You just said, do not answer a fool according to his folly. And then the verse after it says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. My prayer is that you will understand this in such a way that it will unlock so much of God's truths for the rest of your life, that you will be empowered to be an influencer in so many people's lives. Let me share with you how I put it to Griffin. Griffin, many people read these two proverbs and assume that the Bible is contradicting itself. Not so. On the contrary, a right understanding of these verses will point you to and through the value and the necessity of discernment. Simply put, there are no formulas to plug in when dealing with difficult people. You will need to apply God's guiding principles through the spiritual gift of discernment, recognizing all the while that every situation is unique, every person is an individual, and every challenge is to be handled through the cross of Christ. These two proverbs do not contradict themselves. They show us instead how important it is that we know God's truth. We have to know what you saw in the beginning, Wayne Grudem. You need to know the truth if you're going to apply it properly. But recognize this. God's word is saying that you cannot live by formulas. You need to walk so closely with him that you hear his voice when he whispers. You need to be able to discern, because on one day, the guardrails of God's truth give us room to do this, 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 or this. The answer in any given circumstance is going to be what God wants. And you must know, on this occasion, you don't even respond to that fool. On this occasion, when it looks exactly the same, you definitely respond and you do exactly what God has said. Now, he will never take us outside of the guardrails of his truth. But within the guardrails, there is a need for discernment. And this is an area where many people who have not been given eyes to see will assume that the Bible is contradictory. It is not. It's discerning. And that's the call to our lives. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I have to tell you, friends, loved ones, I fear that there have been friends that have been pushed away, and there have been enemies who have been embraced for a lack of discernment. Griffin, be the loving leader and faith-filled friend that God has called and created you to be. At the same time, beware any and all disingenuous deceivers. Refer back to Matthew 10:16, the verse that I gave him at the first session as a life verse. Jesus saying, I am now sending you out, disciples, as sheep amongst wolves. I know that you're a sheep, and I know that I'm sending you out to the wolves. Therefore, says Jesus, here's the purpose. Be as shrewd as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. It's the both and call of Christ. Let the mantra of truth and love be your method of measure. When it comes to others, are they being truthful? Are they being loving? Is this truth and love? Let the mantra of truth and love be your method of measure, your message, and your ministry. Settle for nothing else to the glory of God. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Griffin, I pray you will be surrounded by God's iron men. Even more, I thank God that he has equipped you to be an iron man for others. you are a true brother in Christ. I pray that the Lord will forever be refining and sharpening your edge. Proverbs 27:21. The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and each is tested by the praise accorded to him. You see what he's saying? The furnace is what's used. The crucible is what's used to see how good the silver and the gold is. But praise is what is used to test the believer. Griffin, most people assume that the real test of a man is found in the midst of his adversities. Griffin, most people assume that the real test of a man happens in the midst of his adversities. In reality, the better measure of a man can be seen in how he handles attention, accolades, and affirmation. You see, everyone wants to get up when they've been knocked down, but not many want to bend down when the world wants to lift them up. The Christian's model and measure is a modest Messiah. Please, Griffin, let John 3:30, he must become greater and I must become less, be your lifelong prayer and heartfelt desire. Proverbs 27:23, know well the condition of your flocks. Pay attention to your herds. You say, Griffin's going to be a shepherd? Perhaps, I pray. He's heard the call to international missions. He's been called to the nations. Praise God. Griffin, every spiritual leader, regardless of their vocation, title, or role, must learn to accept and appreciate their privileged responsibility to invite, inform, and inspire others on God's behalf. To that end, we cannot effectively meet or minister to the needs of people if we are not in tune with the troubles they face or the truths they fear. Remember, good shepherds smell like their sheep. Last five. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Griffin, Jesus said that we are not to fear those who can only kill our flesh, but rather that we should have a reverent fear of God and God alone, who is sovereign over our eternal soul. Consequently, to tremble at the prospects of what others may or may not do, say, or think about us is a snare from hell. Do not get caught up in the opinions of the world. Proverbs 30:6. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Griffin, be careful to limit and align your words to his word, no more, no less. Let me tell you, we live in a time and a place where God's word is openly and purposely being perverted. It's an endemic problem. It is truly, truly across the globe. It is particularly problematic in our time and in our culture. For people are twisting and perverting God's word, making it say what they want it to say instead of listening to it and being refined by it. My advice to my son and my advice to you is know God's word. Accept it. And where it doesn't taste good or feel good, ask the Lord to refine you. But do not take the editor's pen in hand. Never, never, never erase, or as we see here, don't add legalism. Legalism and Phariseeism of our day comes from the adding to. And liberalism and license is given by erasing away. God's word, no more, no less. Three left. Let me jump down to the last two because I want to end with verse 12. Chapter 31:8. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Say, Griffin, you have a wonderful track record of standing up for and alongside of those who cannot stand up for themselves. Praise God. Don't ever stop. Those to whom much has been given, much will be expected. Jesus the Christ. We've been called to stand in the gap. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Griffin, seek without settling and pray for a Proverbs 31 woman, just like your mother. Praise God. We're both blessed there. Last one. Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There are people who think that they are themselves clean, who have not yet been washed by the blood of the Lamb from their filthiness. Before I read to you what I shared with Griffin, I point you to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, where Jesus says that there will be a time on Judgment Day where there will be people that are shocked because, based on their religious resume, what they knew in their head but did not have in their heart was a confidence that Jesus says, I never ever knew you. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet he is not washed from his filthiness. I say to you, Christian, Griffin, Christian, do not be deceived. Jesus told us that his followers would be recognized by their fruit and that their love for one another would be distinguishable. He went even further than he does in this proverb in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. A passage that few professing Christians are ready to honestly read and internalize. Be an ambassador of the truth in love, first working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and then lovingly helping others to do the same by the grace of God. I end there because in seeing what God has done with the Proverbs and the reason why he wants us to live out this applied understanding of his knowledge and his truth, there's a tremendous risk that many will take what they know in the head and presume it to be resident in the heart. And if that's the case, if there's a presumption that head knowledge is heart transformation, and it's not so, then that's exactly the person to whom Jesus was speaking in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I want to read to you just a couple of excerpts from Kyle Eidelman's book, Not a Fan. We will be doing a church-wide movie night on Not a Fan this Saturday. I invite you. The coming weeks of this summer, we will have our life groups focusing on a study that goes into this material. Remembering the proverb, let me just share with you now. In the Bible, we read about a group of religious leaders known as the Pharisees. There are people who say that they are clean, but whose hearts have not yet been wiped by the blood of the Lamb. In the Bible, we read about a group of religious leaders known as the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew a lot about God. When someone wanted to play Bible Trivial Pursuit, these folks ruled. They knew about God, but what we discover is that they didn't really know God. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus describes the Pharisees this way. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This description that Jesus gives seems to fit most fans that I know. Like the Pharisees, many fans, as opposed to followers of Christ, have given their minds to the study of God, but they never surrendered their hearts. These were men who had plenty of knowledge about God, but they didn't really know God. This is what often separates the fans from the followers. It's the difference between knowledge and intimacy. In Luke 7, Jesus has been invited over for dinner by one of these Pharisees. The Pharisee's name is Simon. But when Jesus arrived, he was not shown the reverence, the respect, or the love that was culturally normal, not even special, not normal. He says, for Jesus, there was no kiss of greeting, there was no washing of his feet, and there was no oil for his head. Eidelman says, let's take a look at asking the tough questions about the difference between a fan and a follower. He says, do you just know about Jesus, or do you really know Jesus? Fans have a tendency to confuse their knowledge for intimacy. They don't recognize the difference between knowing about Jesus and truly knowing Jesus. In church, we've often got this confused. We have established systems of learning that result in knowledge, but not necessarily intimacy. He said, I want you to look at this encounter in Matthew 7, because the Pharisees all look down at this woman who comes in. You see, she's a prostitute. She's one of those that everybody would say, ooh. And Jesus says, I died on the cross for her. I love her. And hear me this morning. You didn't need to be with my son and me in Pittsburgh this weekend to know this. God loves you. Jesus loves you. These truths, they're for all of us. How he applies them, that's up to you and him. I just want you to see that they're personally applied. Matthew 7, 44 through 46, this woman who was pushed away by the world, she comes and she immediately kisses Jesus' feet. Her tears flow and she washes his feet. She takes expensive perfume and she pours it out on him. Jesus now speaking. Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered her home, you didn't offer me, when I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Eidelman says, in the end, the religious leader with all the knowledge is the fan, and the prostitute who intimately expressed her love for Jesus is shown to be the follower. Here then is the question you and I have to ask ourselves. Who am I most like in the story? When is the last time you had a moment with Jesus like this woman? I'm not asking you if you know about him. I'm asking you if you know him. The wisdom of the Proverbs are designed to help us to walk with Christ, to be who he's called us to be. And it's incredible how practical God gets. It says at one point that to put your nose in somebody else's business is like grabbing a dog by the ears. Said in another one that the wicked run away even when they're not being chased, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I didn't share that one with Griffin because I don't think he needs any extra boldness. But I encourage you to go to God's word. Surrender yourself to its authority and its power. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not, don't even lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your paths, plural, straight. There's blessing to be found in faithful obedience. And it's not just for transition points in our lives. It's to live by every minute of every day to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I come to you now and I thank you that you would be so intimate within our family. And I thank you, as uncomfortable as it is, that you would share that intimacy with our church family. I ask you, Lord, that you do what only you can do in us, and that you change us every day, to understand biblical wisdom is here, not to tell us how good we are as how we have been, but that you want to intentionally change us to be more like you every day. Let us be open to the privilege that it is to be changed by our Christ. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to surrender. Give us the want to walk in worshipful ways. Lord, make us wise. And at the same time, don't let us settle for wisdom. Give us the faith to walk with you no matter what. Give us the gift of repentance to lay down those things that we need to lay down and to come back to you if we've gone astray. Lord, use us. We are yours. We love you and we trust you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.